Jan Morell's novel, The Red Kimono, was originally going to be a biography about her mother. Early in the process, though, Jan Morell decided to write a fictional story instead, though still inspired by two events in her mother's life: her mother's internment as a 7-year-old girl in a camp during World War II, and the murder of her mother's father by two teenagers shortly after the family's release from the internment camp. The Red Kimono follows the lives of the people connected to those fictionalized events and examines the roles of forgiveness, loyalty, and faith in one's life. The novel, published by the University of Arkansas Press, opens in 1941, specifically December 7th of that year. As in reality, soon after the attack on Pearl Harbor, many Japanese Americans are sent to internment camps in the Red Kimono, including camps in Arkansas. I recently talked to Jan Morell about the book, and I asked her about the real events she called upon for inspiration.
How old were you when your mother would talk about being an internee?
She really didn't talk about it very much at all, because the few times I remember her talking about it, she would start to cry. And as a child, probably I didn't want to see that. So I probably avoided the topic myself. But I do remember her when I was about 10 years old. We were on a family vacation, and we stopped at one of the old sites. It was Tule Lake. And as children, we thought a camp sounded fun, you know, and we were looking all around for things you would do at a camp. And it was, I still remember seeing my mother standing off by herself crying about it. And I think at 10, I was beginning to be a little bit more aware of what this was like for her as a child. And then she told me that even though I'm only half Japanese, that if I had been alive back then, I would have been in an internment camp also. And I think that is when I really realized what it would have felt like to be in a camp.
She was an internee at age 7.
Yes.
How much have you talked to her about how much she understood about she was being sent to this camp merely because of...
I think at that age, she didn't understand that so well. She knew that they had to leave their home quickly. She knew that they lost most of their belongings. I've never specifically asked her that, but I don't think at 7 that she probably understood why all of that was happening. Now, she was the youngest of 9 children, and I know that her older brothers knew what was going on. In fact, one of her brothers served in the 442nd, her oldest brother. And so that was one reason that I split my characters into a 9-year-old little girl and her 17-year-old brother, because they each saw what was going on differently. And when I talk to former internees now, I'm not surprised, but it makes me feel good that I got that part right, that as a child, it was almost fun, because their parents protected them from what was really going on. And as Saatchi in my book felt, she was finally with people who looked like her. And so she saw it differently from how her brother, 17-year-old, saw it.
In The Red Kimono, which is a novel, which is fiction, you have these lives that are intertwined. It's shortly after, well, not shortly, but soon after Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And schoolmates that don't know how they're going to interact.
Mm-hmm.
A Japanese man is killed, murdered, mm-hmm. as revenge.
Mm-hmm.
For a child whose father was killed in Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Did you always know that would be what would start the process of the book?
Yes. Yeah. Because I obviously did know how my grandfather's death affected my mother, I wanted to take that and not really make sense out of it, but... The reason for the murder in the book is completely different from what happened in real life. But I still wondered, I remember wondering with the boys in real life, what was going through their head? What would cause them to do something like that? And even as a child, I used to like to write and make up stories. And so I wanted to create this character and try to figure out what would cause somebody to kill a man like that. And, of course, I came up with a completely fictitious and I don't want to say more honorable reason, but he was hurting. And he was a good kid, but he got with the wrong people and decided this would make him feel better, which in the end it didn't.
So we have these three characters, well, more than three, but we have characters who find themselves incarcerated for different reasons.
Yes.
At different places.
Right.
And what really happens is we find out how that affects and how they all move on.
Right. They each meet different characters during their incarceration that in one way or another, whether positively or negatively, change their lives.
That's the spine of this story.
It is. It is. Because obviously, with this taking place during World War II and during the internment, that is the environment that they're in. But I feel like the themes in the book of prejudice and fear, forgiveness, are still relevant issues today. And really, my point in writing the book, not only to remind people of our history, but to try to tell in a story that sometimes we let our fear get a hold of us when all we need to do is try to get to know the person we're afraid of. It may work, it may not, but certainly if we don't try.
Was the process for you a very linear one? You knew you were going to start with this incident that linked the characters.
In general, it was linear. But I have a method of deepening my characters. I will often interview my primary characters in my head. And I have a list of questions that I ask them. And several times with this book, when I would ask these questions, new parts of the story would come out. And so in that way, it strayed a little bit from what I originally had intended. For instance, Juby, I didn't expect Juby to become a part of the story until I interviewed Saatchi. There's a scene in there where Saatchi makes a new friend in the camp, Sam, who is a boy, and her first crush. Well, that started out being a little girl. But when I talked to Saatchi about it, she said, no, it was a boy, and he was my first crush. And also the twist that came in the story was through interviewing.
I don't mean to pry into your process, but when you interview, how does that
work? It sounds
work?
A little bit crazy,
well,
doesn't
crazy.
It?
Well, not crazy. No, but I mean, how do you – this is going to be a crazy-sounding question. How do you make sure you're not manipulating the answers, which, of course, you are because you're the author?
Right. It's very hard to explain because it's strange that you could stare at a blank screen and wonder what to write, but you go into this different process where I literally close my eyes. I have a blog entry I did called Happy Hour with Nobu, and I literally poured myself some hot sake, and I pretended I was sitting across a table from Nobu, and this was for the second book. I was really stuck on what Nobu's story was going to be in the sequel. And I started out asking him what has happened to you in the years since the internment, which this would have been about 8 years after internment. And he just started talking to me in my head. And of course, I'm imagining this as a movie. A major secret about Mama came out of that. And it doesn't feel like manipulation.
It sounds like meditation in a way.
It almost is. And I write as I'm imagining this so that I can get it all down on paper, and then I'll go back and pick and choose and fix it up later. But it's really amazing, and I actually talk to other writers about this process because it's a good way to get over your writer's block.
If you're an Arkansas native, you might know more about the internships than other people because there, of course, was the camp. But do you find that there are a lot of people that still really,
yes,
you're nodding, have no idea that this particular period of...
What I find is either people didn't know at all about it, and to be honest, I didn't know about the Arkansas internment camps because I'm not originally from Arkansas. And of course, all my mother ever spoke about were those on the West Coast. And so when I started writing this book, I won't say I was excited to hear about them, but it gave me a whole new dimension to the story that I was able to write. And even in Arkansas, though, there are many, many people I talk to that know little to nothing about the camps.
And imagine are quite surprised then when they hear that they existed.
Yes. But there is a new museum now down in McGee, Arkansas, and it opened in April, I believe. And it's a wonderful monument, not only the museum, but the actual site of Rohr Internment Camp. They now have kiosks where you can walk along a path and learn about various parts of the internment camp.
I'm curious, has your mother read the book?
Yes.
What'd she say?
You know, my mother is not a reader, and before the book was published, I let her read the manuscript. I put it on her iPad for her, and it would make me very happy whenever I would walk in and find her just glued to the iPad. But one of my favorite stories is she told me in a couple of parts where I needed to fine-tune the cultural aspect of it. But one of my favorite parts was there's a scene where Sachi is stacking rocks on top of a fence post, and it's something that her father taught her to stack rocks as a form of meditation if she was unhappy. And when my mother read that, she said, Janice, she couldn't have stacked rocks on those posts because she couldn't have reached it. And it's something I would have never thought about, but it told me that she was living that as she was reading it.
It had to make you a little, not anxious, but you had to be somewhat nervous handing over that manuscript on the iPad.
Yes. I wasn't so nervous with my mother because she's my mother, but I have been and continue to be nervous about former internees reading it because it was very important to me to get the story accurately. And a lot of times in research, I found different stories, and some of them the facts, well, they were facts as these people remembered it, and they were a little bit different from what you might read that somebody else wrote about. And so my biggest fear was somebody reading it saying that didn't happen. And I guess that's why we do say it's historical fiction, even though I wanted everything to be accurate. So I still, if I read a review by a Japanese person, I kind of hold my breath till I get to the end.
You mentioned that one of the things you wanted to do was make sure you got details right. Is another aspect for the people who don't know that there were people interred, U.S. citizens, just the awareness?
Yes. I think it's very important to be aware that we did this once because... In my mind, I don't think anybody would ever say we should ever intern our own citizens again, but we've already seen a slippery slope. And, you know, you go slowly down this slippery slope and you never know what might happen, and that's why I think it's important for us to remember.
Jan Morell's novel is titled The Red Kimono, and it's published by the University of Arkansas Press. She is now working on a sequel. You can learn more at janmorell.com. That's Jan, M-O-R-R-I-L-L.com.